Hey everybody, welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, episode 331, Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. Welcome to the program. Before we get anywhere, I want to say real quick that today's episode is brought to you by the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. I got to thank
Willie Duet,
who's here in the chat tonight. Thank you,
Willie Duet,
for being here. I got a show planned for you. How's the holiday season treating you? I just realized this is the second to last, the penultimate episode of 2024. This will come out on the 21st, and then after that, the 28th, and that's it. That's the year. So there's some things we got to talk about. Next week, being the last one, should be the episode. It's going to be weird because I have a couple of other things that I got to take care of episode-wise. But next week's is going to be Kyle and I sitting down and going over our favorite stuff from the year that we've been doing for like 4 years, I want to say, at this point. I think four sounds correct, maybe five. I'm not 100% sure. Not 100% sure. Either way, welcome to today's program. So Kyle sends me this, my buddy, my friend and yours, everybody's favorite special guest. This is a post on Twitter from Fallout, at Fallout, the official page. Ghoul news, everybody! Press previews of the player ghoul experience arrive tomorrow, and the public test server opens 12/20. Happy Ghouly Days! This was posted on December the 18th, 2024, in the year of our Lord, and I'm recording this on the 19th, so as of tomorrow, or a day ago, if you're watching this on the day that this comes out, there might be a beta test up and available to play as a ghoul. They did say early 2025. I didn't think it'd be January of 25. I was thinking like March or April of 25, but that means I have to get up on this now with Kyle or whoever and play 76, build a character from the ground up so I can finally play as a ghoul. Something that we haven't been able to do canonically yet. You can in Brotherhood of Steel, the PS2 and Xbox game, you can play as a ghoul, but you can't do it in any other game. It's something that I've wanted since I first played Fallout 3, when I really, really started to love who ghouls were and their culture, because it's the first Fallout I've ever played, and it's my favorite game in the series. From that point, I've wanted to play as a ghoul for you know, just the bigotry that they face and seeing how that could be put onto the player character, how the world can change, your perception of the world can change. If they could get this to work in a mainline game that isn't 76, where you're a silent protag, if you could ghoulify characters that you could have loved, characters that you could have really, really grown attached to, you could ghoulify, and let's say it's an irreversible process, you ghoulify, and they treat you differently. They speak to you differently. I mean, you know, there'd probably be some way to reverse it because game. But, you know, if you're going to play it the real way, don't change. You got hit with something, act that way. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, here's this character in this one town who loves you and you love, and they have a really sympathetic backstory and you really like them. And then one day you just show up and you're a ghoul and they're like, yeah, fuck you. I think it would make the world see. I would probably get people to restart their game. Honestly, but that's good characterization. That's good NPC making. That's good storytelling. If everybody that you love has some sort of a quirk, you know, I'm fascinated with the idea of a character that you grow attached to, that you really fall in love with, turns out to be a huge piece of shit. And with one little, oh, that was there the whole time and I didn't see it. Your perspective changes 15 degrees and you see through them like glass. I really like ghouls. I like the apathy. I love the whole, you know, like we're the first and last of our dying breed. There are some that show up, but you know, it's kind of rare. Some people ghoulify instantly. Some people don't. Some people take time. We've had so many great ghoul characters. His name eludes me at the moment, but the guy who's Wilson Automatoy's, you know, Moira Brown, technically, in a weird way, Hancock, Sharon. We've had fantastic ghouls. You know, the ghouls at the NCR base, they get ghoulified immediately. Ghost. Just, you know, a bunch of cool people that have shown up. The prostitutes of the Gamora. And I would like to be able to see the world from that perspective. It'd be nice to see that world from the perspective of a super mutant. I feel like it would be harder, especially with all of the FEV slowly dwindling away, hopefully. And, you know, especially since there's no Masters mutants anymore. There's not new Masters mutants. There's no clean strain of FEV. There's also no clean strain of humanity, really, that's coming about. You know, it'll be harder to do that, but I think it'd be neat to see. The more perspectives in an RPG, the better. And apparently, from what we've heard, ghouls will be spoken to differently by NPCs when it comes time for you to play as one. So I'm super excited to see what is going to happen with the ghouls. Very much so. I'm very excited to play as a ghoul. I've wanted to do that forever. I'm excited. I'm excited to play 76. I bought it. I actually got it for free. I got a free code. And then on top of that, it's on Game Pass. So like, did I really need it? But I did and I didn't. So I'm just going to wind up getting like Xbox Live, play a couple nights a week with Kyle or somebody and, you know, have a good time. Enjoy ourselves. Play Fallout the way... Play 76 the way 76 was intended to play after all these patches and updates. And 76 has the best player base out of any game as far as I'm concerned. I'm really concerned to know what parts of 76 will turn out to be canon and what parts won't be, because there's some of it that just seems like there's a lot of Nuka-Cola stuff that I just think is overkill that doesn't need to really happen. But, you know, this is going to get a new group of people in. Because now you can get the ghoul's costume from the show. Then you can play as a ghoul. You can do your little fantasy of being Walton Goggins. You can run away.
Willie DeWitt.
Just saying, right now, Fallout 76 is $10. I know on Series X they're having a monster sale. I have a friend who's never played Skyrim, and they've been telling me they want to try it. And I was thinking, maybe let's see how much Skyrim is. It's like $17. And I was like, you know what? Why not? Why not buy it again and play it all over? I also, you know, got to get through the Arkham games first because I just bought those. And I think I'm actually going to do the Riddler challenges this time. But I digress. The point I'm getting at is 76 is on sale. It's fun with friends. If you like the Fallout universe, it's fixed. Not completely, but it's playable from what I understand. And I'm excited to get through it and hit level 50 and finally experience a game from a series that I love and just don't know anything about because I was so spurned when it first came out. But I will contest to the day I die that the fan base for 76 is by far the best fan base in any game. I have a really fun piece of lore for you today. Before I can get to the lore, I have to thank the Patreon. Because of the Patreon, the show continues to grow and get bigger and better, and there's a lot of fun that I'm able to do because of it. I have to buy some new equipment soon, and the Patreon is a big reason for that. There's a few things that I have to buy that should make the show bigger and better, and that's what the names on screen are doing. They're helping me do that. I can make the show flow easier, I can make the show do certain things because of their help. And I need to thank these names that are on screen currently. So starting from the top, I would like to thank the OG Noah. Thank you to Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Willie DeWitt. Thank you to Willie DeWitt, who is here tonight. Thank you, Willie, for being here. I appreciate you. I also have to thank Mellow Milhouse. Thank you to Mellow Milhouse. After Mellow Milhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. After Captain Lennox, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. And last, but certainly not least, this week, also the person who's bringing us the lore, the idea for the lore, is Brotherhood Outcast. Thank you to Brotherhood Outcast. If you like the show, check out the Patreon. Link in the description below. You can support an indie project, something I love. And if you love it too, you could be a part of it because you, yes, you have the opportunity to become a part of the live studio audience. Link in the description below. Check it all out. I love you. Thank you. So this next piece of lore that we're going to do, I actually get to dress up a little bit for it, but we'll get to that in just a moment. There is an episode long ago, like 4 years ago, maybe longer, when it was still a two-person operation. And we came to a conclusion of who would rule the wasteland, and it came down to gangs, essentially. It would come down to the unity of small, independent, maybe 15 to 20 to 30 people together in a posse, in a group, people that were watching each other's back, washing one back for the other, you know. So if you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever, check out the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. There's a bunch of tiers, a bunch of perks, but most importantly, every single week, your voice is heard when it comes time to choose the lore from the Fallout universe, any part of the universe, as long as it's canon. And hey, sometimes we'll even cover non-canon stuff. Today, one of those cases. Link in the description below. This week's lore is being brought to you by the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, and the idea comes from Brotherhood Outcast on our Patreon. I bring to you the Tunnel Snakes from Fallout 3.
Tunnel Snakes rule!
First off, I'd like to start by saying Tunnel Snakes rule. It's a scientifically proven fact by science that the Tunnel Snakes do, in fact, rule. I'm so excited for this lore segment because I get to wear my Tunnel Snakes jacket. It's a replica. It's got my own little flair and funk and whatever else on it. I got a patch of my favorite cult on it, and I really hope the jacket doesn't screw with the green screen. But the Tunnel Snakes rule. All right? Point blank, period. Tunnel Snakes rule. Scientifically proven by science. On the outskirts of Washington, D.C., the Capital Wasteland, the Vault Dweller is born on July 13th of 2258. You following me? You with me? On July 13th of 2268, the Lone Wanderer has his birthday party, his 10th birthday party, that is thrown by his friend Amata, his dad, Jonas helps a lot. You know, everybody from the vault is there. He's given a sweet roll by Old Lady Palmer. Andy, the Mr. Handy, destroys the cake. And something really, really important happens at this birthday party. One of the most influential, one of the most important groups, in my opinion, in the entirety of the Capital Wasteland is born on July 13th of 2268. The Tunnel Snakes. They didn't even know that they were going to be the Tunnel Snakes at that point. It was Butch Deloria, Wally, Mac, my guy, and Paul Hannon Jr. all sitting around at a table in the dining quarters of Vault 101. The vault that when you're born there, you die there. Now this little team of ragtag ragamuffins was nothing more than just a couple of kids who wanted to have a group, a name for who they are, for what they are, for who they could be. You see where I'm going with this? They had a bunch of names for what their gang could be called. Paul Hannon wanted to call them the Grease Weasels or the Vaultykins. Wally Mack wanted to call them the Mackers or Hell's Overseers. Hell's Overseers goes kind of hard. And Butch Deloria wanted to name them either the Vault Rats or the Vault Snakes. And you can probably see where this is going. The Vault Snakes later became the Tunnel Snakes, which again, it is scientifically proven that the Tunnel Snakes do in fact rule. That is a day, July 13th of 2268, that history was made. And as the years went on, the gang grew and so did their numbers, eventually settling on the name of the Tunnel Snakes. Like I said, they started to wear leather jackets, much akin to the one I have on. Mine's a little more in my own flavor, but you get the gist. On the back, they have snakes that are in the shape of an S. Again, there's probably something on screen showing it. I showed you what my tunnel snake looks like. They're inspired by 50s greasers. They got the duck-ass haircuts. They've got pompadours. You know, they have switchblades. They walk around with the leather jackets on top of their vault suits. I doubt that anybody in that vault knows what cool is, but that's about as cool to as close to cool as you're gonna get. It's still pretty room temp, but it's as close as you're gonna get. They pretty much are doing mostly just childish pranks. They're just kind of being a nuisance. They're kind of just being annoying. I get all of my lore off of fallout.fandom.com, the Nukapedia, if you will. I love these games. I adore these games. I play the hell out of these games. But, you know, I get my lore off of there as a reference. I talk from the heart. But, you know, sometimes even with passion, you need a little factual evidence to back things up. It also says on the wiki, and I didn't understand what this says, that they indulge in thuggery. And I wasn't quite sure what thuggery meant. Because they're in a vault. Like, what are they doing? Stealing milk at lunchtime? Like, One other, they have one recorded fist fight, maybe, and we're going to get to that a little bit later. On August 3rd of 2274, that is the day that the students of a certain age, of the age of 16, went to go take the GOAT, the Generalized Occupation Aptitude Test. And this is where you can find the Tunnel Snakes harassing Amata, the daughter of the Overseer. They're picking on her because she is the daughter of the Overseer, right? The Lone Wanderer can go there and has the ability to either talk them down, you can actually convince Wally Mack that Wally Mack is in charge, and it begins a little bit of division between the group, and Wally Mack's like, no, I'm in charge. Wally Mack's the guy with the plan, and then him and Butch can kind of get into a little bit of an argument, and then, you know, they might walk away, or you can punch them. It's a 3-on-1 fight. You could beat up Paul Hannon, you could beat up Wally Mack, you could beat up Butch DeLoria. And that might be, like, one of the only recorded fistfights that they've ever had. And it's totally optional. In 2277, the Lone Wanderer is dead. James escapes the vault, and the Lone Wanderer goes after him. This is where the quest escape happens. And during this, the whole vault kind of falls. It becomes not what it once was. And it's a turning point, not just for the main character, but everybody that he grew up around. During this time, you can find the Overseer's terminal, and you could find that he had hired the Tunnel Snakes before to use their, quote, services. In a terminal entry by the Overseer, it says, if Butch and his leather-clad delinquents accost Amata one more time, they'll have more to deal with than their acerbic teacher. Their services have come in handy upon occasion, I must admit, but they're starting to become unruly. If dogs become feral, they must be put down. I'll have to remind Butch of this upon our next meeting. So, the Overseer is a real piece of garbage, but he's also allowing this gang to just kind of run in there. And it's surprising that Butch, being the loudmouth that he is, doesn't, you know, say this to the fellas, or it becomes widely known in the vault. But Butch just wants attention. Butch is a scared little kid with an alcoholic of a mom. And you can say this to him at your 10th birthday party when he wants the sweet roll. You can say to him, why do you want it? Because your mom drank up all the rations again? You know, he'll fight you on it. Because even at 10 years old, he knows that there's a problem in the home. During the Lone Wanderer's escape, Butch can ask him to help save his mom from the rad roaches that have been coming in. They've been tunneling through. They got in when the door was opened. And the Lone Wanderer can say to him, he's like, Butch, do you understand the meaning of irony and how this is an ironic situation? You picked on me in my entire life, whatever, whatever, whatever. But if you're a good guy and you want to do right by Butch, you can go and save his mom from the rad roaches. And if you do, you become an honorary Tunnel Snake, and he gives you his Tunnel Snake jacket. And he says to you, you're the best friend I've ever had. And he's someone, yeah, he's saying it because it's circumstantial, but still. You become a Tunnel Snake. So there is you're an honorary Tunnel Snake. Congratulations. The gang went from 3 to 4. During this escape, Paul Hannon also became badly injured from the rad roach bites, and he succumbed to his wounds, and Wally abandoned the group entirely, and now Butch is the only real member that's in it. He's the only original member. Freddy Gomez joined the gang at some point in time. And then, depending on how you end the Trouble on the Home Front quest, when you get to go back and see what has happened to the Tunnel Snakes, you can find Butch in Rivet City at the Muddy Rudder, but he doesn't talk about Freddy Gomez or anybody else. And he talks to Lone Wanderer about how he wants to start the Tunnel Snakes back up. So, assumingly, the Tunnel Snakes just don't exist anymore except for Butch. And I think it's so funny that this thing that went from 3 friends who were hanging out to just one guy who's just like, I'm going to relive my glory days. Oh, I'll show you a real Tunnel Snake, Amata. Like, just, I think that's so funny that he's just that pathetic. I also just really like the idea of Butch and the Lone Wanderer becoming, like, reluctant friends at the end. Like, just being like, Butch, what are you doing in Rivet City? And he's like, I wanted to get out like you. I can cut hair. And then, like, he goes on a trip and, like, slowly hardens, and he's just like, hey, thanks for showing me around. I really appreciate it. I love you. Something like that. That's the only, like, friend or enemies to friends to lovers trope that I would enjoy seeing. And that's why one of my most recent playthroughs, I made sure to go back and get Butch as a companion. And then I started doing a quest and I left him somewhere. And then all of a sudden it told me that he died. And I was like, okay, I guess Butch is dead now. Like, I think I was doing Finding Independence where you have to find Sydney and, you know, get the Declaration of Independence. And I was like, Butch, wait here. Cause he kept dying on me. And then he just succumbed to the building. Like, it wasn't even like there was mutants there. I don't think. He just died. Now, the next part I'm going to talk about comes from the Creation Club. So I'm not sure how canon it is, but it's fun. By the time of 2287, Wally Mack left the Capital Wasteland and made his way to the Commonwealth. He tried to do what he knows best, and that's make the Tunnel Snakes anew. He tried to have Tunnel Snakes 2.0. He had a small group that later found the Chestnut Hillock Reservoir, and then they discovered one of the subway cars had a ton of radiation. And Wally Mack, being a kid from the vault, which, you know, Boston to DC is not close, but still, totally dismissed it. And eventually, he dismissed it and thought it was going to give him superpowers. And then he eventually just became a ghoul. Him and the rest of the crew are ghoulified. After any of that happened, the Tunnel Snakes had a brief encounter with a group of gunners that drove them from the Fensway station, and they wound up picking up a weapon that you could pick up called the Ultimatum. It's inspired by the original pistol from Fallout 1 that somebody uses. I know it's in the show. I don't remember exactly who has it. It might be Lucy? It might be Maximus who has it. I don't remember, but I do remember the 10mm, or it's a 9, or an 11. It's a weird millimeter of gun shows up, and it's got some cool engravings. It's a unique for this paid DLC, this like paid mod thing that's in it. They developed radiation sickness by this time they got pushed out, and they had succumbed to the radiation poisoning, and they turned ferals, and Wally Mack is now a glowing one. You can kill him, you can get a couple of Tunnel Snake outfits, you can get the unique weapon that you are given that they had taken from their encounter with the gunners, and that's pretty much all we know about the Tunnel Snakes in the Fallout series. I would love to see this show up again. Fallout 5, it'd be nice to see Butch, like, with a beard and developed, and he's grizzled, and he's like, I just still love cutting hair. I love the Tunnel Snakes. If I didn't make it apparent by, you know, my super light cosplay, let me see if I can get it off. It's going to green out completely. I just realized that. I love them. I think they're such a fun addition. It's one of those things that, like, growing up, a lot of my friends or people that just liked Fallout, knew I liked Fallout, we would say to each other, Tunnel Snakes rule. And we would do it in the hallways in high school. I remember Olive and I used to look at each other and go, Tunnel Snakes rule. And just, you would yell that. It was just a thing. It was a thing that we all kind of clamored around. It was a thing that we called our own. So I was happy when I bought a leather jacket and I got a snake patch and I put it on the back. Also, I don't remember, this is a little fun fact for you. I don't remember where I saw Pete Hines say this. It was an interview of some sort. And he said, if you ever play a game and there's a guild and the guild says Tunnel Snakes rule, it might have been a NoClip documentary on Bethesda. And they said, Pete Hines says, if you see Tunnel Snakes rule as a guild anywhere, and I believe they showed World of Warcraft and the guild said Tunnel Snakes rule, that's people at Bethesda who are playing together. Now, Fallout 3 is almost 20 years old. I don't know if this is still canon. I don't know if this is still a true thing. I can assume that there's some people at Bethesda that are still going by Tunnel Snakes rule in their guild. Either way, I thought it was neat. And I, like, to this day, still look for Tunnel Snakes rule. And if I see it, I'm like, I wonder. And I hope you've enjoyed that, because that has been this week's lore. Tunnel Snakes rule. Hey, everybody. Segment 3 for you is going to be a short one for several reasons. One of them is it's the holidays. I want to relax. And I don't necessarily have much to talk about because it feels like news isn't coming out. If you excuse me, I like to take this jacket off.
Just give me a moment.
Hi, thanks for that. There's a lot of things that are about to go on. I have plans for Christmas. I'm not able to go home because I went on the trip of a lifetime. And I'm just getting ready to settle down. This year has been a lot, both good and bad, predominantly good, and I can't wait to tell you more about it in the New Year's episode, which is next week, which you'll be seeing soon. Predominantly good. This has been a very good year, and I can't wait to tell you all about it. Sonic 3 comes out the day this episode comes out. I'll be going to see Sonic 3, like shortly after probably the episode comes out. It's based on my favorite Sonic game. Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. It's loosely based on that from what I've seen. I've tried to not watch trailers. I'm just excited to end the year, honestly. I'm a big fan of New Year's. I'm a big fan of everyone at the same time collectively getting to go. We all get to restart. We all get to retry. We all get to go experience anew. And we're all given kind of the same deck of cards. There's a lot of things that I haven't talked about recently, be myself, be them politically. We recently got to watch a CEO get murdered on screen, and that's a fucking crazy time to be alive. And all of this to be said that I think the craziest thing of all happened as of me recording this. If it wasn't today, it was yesterday, the 18th or the 19th of December, 2024 in the year of your Lord. They put Skibidi Toilet in Fortnite. I think it's complete. I think Fortnite is done. Like in the best way possible. I think everything that could be in Fortnite now is. I saw a tweet that was a Brotherhood of Steel T60 power armor with Skibidi Toilet on the back. And it said, there is now a direct link from Robert Oppenheimer to Skibidi Toilet. And I think this may be the best timeline we're living in. Like genuinely, this is the best dystopian timeline that we're living in. It's a beautiful time to be alive. I could play as Godzilla with Skibidi Toilet on my back. I have no other words for it, man. It's a beautiful time to be alive. I'm so happy to be living and sharing my breath, my space, my thoughts with all of you. It's an amazing time and an amazing place. I can't think of anything else that's crazier that could happen. That being said, something crazy is most likely going to happen because I now said that. That just seems to be the way things are. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. It was a lot of fun. We got to dress up. We got to talk. We got to hang out. Got to talk about Skibidi Toilet more than any adult. I'm almost 30 and I know what the fuck Skibidi Toilet is, and that's a problem. Anyway, I hope you guys have enjoyed the episode. My name has been Vince. This is Atomic Radio Hour, the post nuclear podcast. I want to give a quick shout out once again to Willie DeWitt, who is in the audience tonight, and that's because of his Patreon subscription. If you like the show, check out the Patreon link in the description below. The intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers. It's called Feather Duster. All of his heaters, Feather Duster, and all of his free music is at silvermansounds.com/free music. In the description below is the link to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, Kyle's Twitter. Also, there is a link to the Redbubble. Go ahead and check that out. There's a bunch of fun down there. I love you. Thanks for sticking around. I hope you're well. I hope you're thinking about the future. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'm still going to see you next week, but this one comes out right before Christmas, and the next one comes out right before the New Year. I love you very, very much, and I'll be seeing you very, very soon. Take care. Be safe. I love you. Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour. Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.